Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jared Freed.
And I'm Jordana Abraham.
It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We're here every Wednesday. And listen, if you're listening to this podcast, I want to start off by saying thank you. Thank you to listeners. We don't say it enough.
We don't. Because they keep us going.
They keep us going. That's how this whole thing works. Yeah. Okay? If you're wondering, you listen to the podcast, you support the sponsors, we keep bringing the funny, keep putting out the product. Exactly. That's what we do.
You keep rating, reviewing, and subscribing.
That's right. And I want you to do me a favor right now. Here's how it works. You got... Thank you for listening, and now it's time to go to work, okay? Now it's time. Now pat yourself on the back, but now it's time. Screenshot the screen. Send it to someone you know. Just text it to one friend. Hey, I'm listening to this show.
You all have a friend that would be entertained by this podcast.
One friend that you can...
At least.
And not a friend you've told before. Someone that you haven't spoken to in 3 years. Send them the screenshot. Take a chance. Send it out. Be like, hey, these guys are funny. This is a fun and interesting podcast. I want you guys to spread the word right now. That's how it works because we don't have a billboard. We don't got commercials. We
it's
got
you.
You're the commercial. You're the billboard.
You're the ringleader.
You're the ringleader. So we got to keep spreading the word. Keep pushing, pushing, pushing. Tag a bitch. Tag a bitch. And do you have anything going on right now?
Right now at Betches, if you guys want to buy any U Up related merchandise, whether that's our game, Beach by Noon shirt, anything else, any other U Up memorabilia per se, go to shopbetches.com and you can show off your love for this podcast by wearing some of our clothing.
There it is. What are we talking about today?
So today we're talking, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this before, but we're talking about a dating app opener. And someone wrote in with examples, which I liked, because I think they show a little bit about what not to do, even though you think it's great. You think it is what you should do, which sounds like, to the listener, is probably just like, well, then what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with these?
Right. Well. Let's read the email. She writes, J&J just started the dating app game on Bumble. Excited because there are definitely some cute guys, but not sure what's the best way to get them interested. Here's a screenshot of some examples I've sent. Thought they were sincere and something I'd say in person if we met. Thoughts on how to improve or what the best way is to seal a date. Thanks for your help. So this person has the best of intentions.
Sure. I appreciate her email. It seems sincere. It seems honest. It's vulnerable.
Right.
She's like, a bunch of cute guys. This is great. Like, that's how my mom would talk about going on a dating app. You're like, look at all these cuties. You know, like,
right.
It is somewhat refreshing.
It's very optimistic, yes.
It's optimistic because usually the conversation that we have with dating app people or if they're getting, going on the apps.
Right. Another date.
Another date.
He said, what's up? How's your weekend?
Yeah. Right. Everything's a complaint. Everything's miserable. This email is bright and bushy-tail.
Yeah. She is like, she seems like she's in a good mood on this.
And I want her to stay in a good mood. I don't want her turning into the cynic because here's the thing.
Her response to your
well, here's the messages. Thing. Nobody, you can't be bitter when life is good. I had this conversation with someone the other day where it's like nothing seems worse than a bitter person who's also successful.
Right.
So just the idea that you are free enough to go on a dating app, to then meet people, your cynicism and bitterness towards the dating app will not be held given empathy.
Right. It's like there's this annoying thing that's kind of going around, which is kind of sweet, although it's a little too sincere for me. I'm that bitter person. Where it's like, instead of saying like, I have to do this, it's like, I get to do this. So instead of like, oh, I have to go to work, it's like, oh, I get to go to work. I have a job.
And I do understand the other side of that. I was like, okay, shut up. Right. Monday morning motivation. Go fuck yourself.
We're the bitter ones who are like making fun of those people. But there is an element of that in this where we're saying like, yeah, like you get to go on like this app, which has just access to all these like attractive people.
Yeah. And you're in a big city where there's enough people to swipe through. Like there's positives to any negative. Like, this podcast is for commiseration. So I know I do understand where someone emails in like, look at this fucking loser idiot. And I'm like, well, they seem nice. Like I understand why complaints are brought here.
Right.
But let's be excited. If you're on the app, you're there. Let's deal with it. Let's do it. And I love her attitude. I think it's a lesson for all of us. But let's read her opening lines, okay?
Okay.
Because we all know the premise of Bumble. The women have to say hi to the guys first, or the guys don't get to talk to them at all. I will say this about Bumble. It was promoted as a feminism app or a feminist app. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either.
I will say this as a guy. Every guy is secretly happy that Bumble exists, okay?
Right. To me, I've always seen it as... It takes the dating apps make dating easier for men, mm-hmm. and this makes it so that they don't even have to do anything.
Well, here's the thing: if I wanted to, I mean, not to go on a anti Bumble rant, I'm not being anti. I'm just like, here's the terrain you're dealing with as a guy. Let me explain the men, and it should help this person who's sitting there being like, why aren't I getting answers? Like, I'll give you the answer. Right. Bumble creates a world. When I was on Tinder, every match was a possibility. You know how they say a dog, if you keep feeding it, it will eat itself to death?
I didn't know they said, but yeah.
Dogs will just eat and eat and eat. They never know they're full.
Okay.
That's how a man is on a dating app. That's how a man is on Tinder. You keep feeding us matches.
Right.
We'll keep talking to the matches. We'll keep pursuing every match or keep looking for more matches. We'll keep trying to find more.
Right. You're only as loyal as your options, which now are endless.
Thank you, Chris Rock.
Yes.
That's a Chris Rock quote.
That is.
So.
I said it before. Yeah.
This is. So my point is what Bumble did is it narrowed the search. Now, when Tinder was actually exhausting, you get 10 matches. You talk to 10 girls. You
might get a response from some. You might not.
Sure. You entertain 10 options. Now you're flush with options. Some of which wouldn't even be an option to you, but you don't know that.
Right.
Now with Bumble, that switches the numbers. If you get 10 matches, maybe 3 will talk to you. You get to now choose between the 3 which you're most interested in.
And you already know that that those 3 are interested enough that they put in the effort to like
exactly
speak to you.
Not only are they attracted enough to swipe right, they're attracted enough and interested enough to go, ooh me, ooh me, ooh me. So now the guy is in a position of power where he gets to choose between the umi girls.
Right.
And that narrows
it's like
the search.
Bachelor.
It's the Bachelor. Now you're not on the Tinder's the Bachelorette. Bumble's the Bachelor.
Yeah. To me, I don't get it. I didn't like that aspect of it. But I guess it's supposed to be like sort of safer for you. But I think you can just unmatch though.
Sure.
For me, that was like if I thought someone was being creepy, I would just unmatch them.
Sure, you're
and
right.
Someone's just as likely to be like, take your top off in a message in response to me as they are in the initial message.
Well,
which is why I didn't really get that either.
Well, I guess if I was to rebut you, it would be Tinder. You have to see all the grossness of life. And Bumble is like you get to limit your grossness brought to you.
But you
I
could
guess.
Still get grossness.
Sure.
To me.
Yeah, yeah. You can unmatch people in this.
In fact, the guy probably thinks you're more interested in more wanting to like see a picture of his penis.
Because you said umi umi.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I get it, and I get why they served a marketing campaign of feminism.
Right.
I'm not here to tell women what feminism is. I'm just saying from my perspective. It makes it a lot easier for men on Bumble.
I could agree with that. And that's why I wasn't that into it when I was single.
So here are her openings. Do you want to read them?
Yeah. So she writes, she has two examples. The first one she writes, you and your husky are too cute. What would you call that emoji?
The blushing emoji.
Blushing emoji. Would love to meet sometime soon. Are you currently in the OC area?
Okay.
I'll read both. Because I think there's a theme within them.
Yes.
This is the second guy she's messaging. She says, "You're too cute for us not to meet." Smiley face, tongue out emoji. When did you move here from Nashville?
Yeah.
Okay.
These are bad.
So they're bad, but I can understand why one who didn't have much experience with the apps would think they were good, or someone who was like, this is almost like the issue with being in too good of a mood here.
Sure. There's what we love about her email is the problem with her message.
Right.
It lacks any cynicism, also any taste.
Right. That's kind of the issue here. It's like too eager.
Yeah. But I'll say this. Let me take her side for a second.
Okay.
She claims both of these got no response, right?
Right.
So she wrote, "You and your husky are too cute. Would love to meet sometime soon. Are you currently in the OC area?" To me, you could say she warded him off because she's like, I want to meet.
Right.
You know, so like maybe she's better off for this message.
I guess so. But also, I think maybe if you're new to the apps, you need to learn a little bit, that you need to establish a little bit of like a back and forth before you can jump right into like, mm-hmm. let's meet immediately thing.
Well, before we get into this discussion, as a guy, attraction trumps any bad opening message.
Okay. So you're saying if you're attracted to this person and you don't really even care that you're down to meet.
Yeah. I'm down to figure this out. Not down to meet.
I'm down to
respond.
Okay.
Like if I got this message from a girl that I was like totally my type, totally my what I'm into, I would write back, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, easy there, big fella. Let's figure this out first." Well, like I would find a way to corral this wild horse.
Well, that would be the same reaction for me if this was a guy that was messaging me and his first message was, "You're really cute. We should meet." I'd be like, whoa, like,
but you'd still give the chance if you were attracted.
I would try to like get more of a feeling for his personality first before committing to, yeah, how's Tuesday at 3?
We're on the same page.
Right.
The other issue with this message is, would love to meet sometime. To me, that's someone that has no taste, that has all the time in the world, that has no discerning factor of whether they go on a date or they don't go on a date. They just want to be on the date.
Right. Which I get. I mean, like, the point is to get off the apps. I understand that. But I think you have one thing that you learn very quickly after being around the block on these apps is that there's so many people on them, mm-hmm. that you need to be a little selective.
Yeah. And it is funny that we praised her lack of cynicism and then we're like, we just need a touch of cynicism.
Right. We just need you to be a little more like critical of these. I also think, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you want to be like telling the person that they're cute on the first message. I think that because the first message she wrote, "You and your husky are too cute." The second message she wrote, "You're too cute for us to not meet."
Yeah. The whole premise of matching is that you think they're cute.
Right.
You don't have to say it. You've already shown it.
Right. To say it as the first thing that you say.
It's actually almost sexualized.
It's sexualized. And it's also like, I think like laying all your cards on the table.
Yeah. We know you. The whole idea of the match is that we both mutually think we're cute enough to match.
Right. I think there's like a spectrum of opening lines, and if one is like too cool for school, like one is like, "Hey,
yeah,
this is 10.
Yeah.
This is 10. Yeah, this is you and your husky. You're really cute. I want to meet like right away."
Mm-hmm.
And one is, "Hey."
Yes, so, I agree. Yeah.
I think what you want to do ideally is find something around the like 4 to 7 range.
Sure. Yeah, that's I'm
like,
with you.
I'm interested. I'm trying, but I'm not like.
But I have other things to do.
Right. I'm still like, I'm not giving you everything immediately.
I mean, this person also like, I got to say, in like the era of having choice, where you do have the choice, her email, "Thoughts on how to improve or what's the best way to seal a date." I don't want to go on a date with someone who just wants to seal a date.
Right. You want to go out with someone who you feel like you have a good vibe with.
Absolutely. To me, that turns into the piece of shit who goes, "It was a friend vibe. We're friends now. Let's just be friends and hang out forever as friends."
What do you mean? Like the...
Like the person who's like, "I just want to seal a date." They're going on a date with a guy that they don't necessarily have interest in. They're just there to be on a date. and then see if you guys are friends or not. It's like, no, no, no. I need to know that there's a little more of a vibe before going on that date, before I'm going to, like, I've said this on the podcast before. The penis doesn't waste time.
Okay.
It doesn't. The penis is ruthless. The penis the penis will go.
Evil dictator.
It's a literal dictator. Later. Okay?
Okay.
The penis will look at you and go, what the fuck are we doing here? And your head will go, well, she was nice. I don't give a shit. We're not here for nice.
We should have a video with just like a little penis on your shoulder. Just and then like an angel.
Angry dick. A dick.
We don't care.
We don't give a shit about nice. Well, her pictures were cool. I don't care. I'm here to get fucked. Like a little dick.
That's so funny.
It's like, when, like, it's funny because like a lot of women will write into this and be like, well, does he want to go on the date? Whatever. And it's like, guys just don't waste their time. Just like, we've had this discussion before where it's like, you're like, yeah, I would go to date 4 to know if I want to fuck him or not. It's like, that ain't going to happen for guys.
Some guys.
I think most guys. I don't think.
Most guys are not going to wait 4 dates to have sex with you. I think that's.
They would wait 4 dates, but they know they want to fuck you before you even met.
Right.
I think that's kind of the flaw of the first date. Is like, we've changed how we meet. Like.
Okay.
Like, you meet on the app, that's a different way to meet than we've ever met before in the history of the world.
Right.
Okay? Why is the next step the same as we've done it 20 years before?
What do you think the next step should be?
Well, I'm just saying, you go on the first date after seeing all their pictures, talking to them, getting a vibe. And then you go on the first date, and the guy is on the first date because he wants to have sex with you. And the girl's on the first date because you've checked enough boxes to be a viable partner.
Right.
Don't you think that that's all? That maybe we're already on date 4.
Maybe the guy is also looking for a viable partner.
Fair. But he's decided on I will fuck.
Okay.
If he's on the first date, he has decided.
Okay. Yeah. So he will. But that's like that's always been the nature of dating. Right.
I think if you were introduced by, like, if my aunt introduced me to, if I'm at, you know, Passover dinner, okay, and my aunt goes, you got to meet this girl from my office. She's the best. 20 years ago, you would go out not knowing very much.
Right.
You would go out being like, well, my aunt says she's cool.
Here, maybe she showed you a picture.
Maybe one picture, but you're like, I guess I haven't really, like, thought on this.
Right.
And you go to the date, and then you'd be like, I would fuck. Like, you know, like, I'm saying that decision, and I know it's a gross reality of a decision, but it's being made before you guys even get in the door.
So what is your alternative to the first date?
I don't know. I think it's got to change. I think maybe, you know, I think people have to admit to these realities, is that you're going, the whole emotional masturbation thing.
Right.
How many women are going on the date after they've emotionally masturbated to these guys?
That too, yeah.
So it's the same thing.
Right.
So it's like, it's not really...
Well, everyone has their own expectations of what they want out of something, but sometimes they're the same. I think there's sometimes that... Sometimes both people just want to hook up, and sometimes both people are looking for something a little more serious.
Yeah, I think... But part of the reason that her openings are so bad is because she doesn't even care for that.
She doesn't care if...
If you're there for whatever.
Oh, you're saying she's not trying to weed out who's there for what reasons.
There's no weeding.
Right. Well, it's almost like very naive.
Yes.
These openings are naive. They're not jaded enough.
No. And again, we praised her in the beginning. But I think, what do you think is the best opening that you would want to hear as a woman?
That I would want to hear. I think if it was replying to something in my story that was like kind of funny or their own personal like little very short anecdote about something relating to my story. My profile.
Mm-hmm.
Something like quick, kind of.
But thoughtful.
That shows their personality. Right. That shows their personality a little bit. Shows that they actually paid attention to this, my particular profile. And they're not sending the same message out to every person.
Totally. I think saying you and your husky are too cute. I think her initial thought is right.
Right.
Notice the husky. Yes. Love that dog. Focus, how old is your dog?
Right. Focus on the husky. Don't focus on the, like the second one she wrote, you're too cute for us not to meet.
Yeah, goodbye.
That's too much.
When did you move here from Nashville? That's great.
That's fine. Right. Yeah, pick one of these things.
I love Nashville. When did you move here?
Right.
Oh, I'm not actually from here. I'm here for work. Let's fuck. Like, that's going to be his more notable first answer.
Right. And then you, as an experienced dater, as you continue on this, will eventually kind of realize that the way people respond to these things will tell you a lot more about what they're looking for than anything else.
Yeah. And also, you're going to figure out what a vibe feels like. Like, right. There is such a thing. Like, I don't like this whole idea of like, well, I just asked for the date right away. That means you have no taste. And then there is a thin line between talking too long and not, you know, like
right.
You do have to have some sort of conversation. I got to say, on dating apps, there have been more occasions than not where I've talked with someone enough to know that the only thing to say next is to ask on a date. And I was like, well, if I didn't really ask for one yet, probably shouldn't ask.
Yeah. And that way you also like save your time. You don't go out with people who like you don't really want to go out with.
So that
don't really want to go out with you.
Totally. Well, that's why for her, my biggest advice is to not take this so personally. You do not know what's going on with the person on the other end. So whatever you do right, I do understand. We've given her a lot of tips. But at the very least, them not writing back doesn't mean you're not a worthwhile partner. Doesn't mean they're... You have no idea. Are they already 4 dates in with someone they met on Bumble 2 weeks ago? Are they looking at yours going, right. You know, not my type, but I'm happy we matched. No one... It's not personal to you.
And they're just... You're figuring out if you're a match. And also if they're looking for the same things as you, which is even more important.
Let's do some awkward sex.
Let's
you ready?
Let's do it.
Hey, J&J, love all that you do. Let's get straight to the point. I was seeing a guy this summer, and he had the weirdest post-sex trying-to-be-funny routine. Ooh, we're heading down a road. Post-sex trying-to-be-funny. Have you ever tried to be funny post-sex?
Like, now that I'm in a relationship more so, I'm trying to think, like, I can't remember, like, specific instance of, like, cracking multiple jokes after.
Did I ever tell you the story of... when I took my legs and put them behind my head?
I vaguely remember this.
I was at this girl's place. We had just hooked up.
Was this like your routine?
It wasn't a routine, but for whatever reason, she had this headboard that was like wrought iron, you know, like those like pole. So I, for whatever reason, it just felt like the head, like I really wanted to put my toes on it.
Okay.
So I took my legs, I put it on it, and then just farted.
Okay.
Like as a joke.
This is immediately after?
I don't think it was immediately after, but it was within amount of enough time for her to go, what the fuck are you doing? Like, she thought it was funny.
Okay.
But it was definitely a surprise.
But you did it once.
I had to.
Okay. It was just the
one time, not a routine.
Okay.
So immediately after, we would roll away from one another. Almost every single time, he would play a remix version of the Kalia. How do you say it? Kalu?
You know I'm bad at this. I'll play the song. And
play
you can...
the song, the Kalu theme song.
Right. And
you don't know what Kalu is, if I'm saying it wrong, I'm sorry. It's a Canadian children's cartoon with the weirdest, most annoying main character. I have the link to the song below, as well as a picture of him so you can see what the image that came to my head post-sex. He was an odd, humorous guy, so I just shrugged it off, but looking back, I now cringe.
All right, we'll play the song for you.
It's spelled C-A-L-L-I-O-U.
Oh, don't worry. His name is in the song.
Okay. Well,
so I should know this because it actually is pretty catchy.
He would play a remix version.
You're getting to be a big boy.
I'm just a kid who's poor. Each day I grow some more. I like exploring. I'm Caillou.
Caillou.
So many
Caillou.
Things to do. Each day is something new. I'll share it's
pretty catchy.
You. I'm Caillou.
He kind of looks like Doug Funny a little bit.
He does. I did get Doug vibes.
Yeah. Or Arthur a little bit.
Okay, I think we get it.
Each day I grow some more.
Caillou is his penis.
Yeah. I'm just a penis who grows each day anew.
Caillou is his penis.
Caillou.
I guess we've decided.
He does. I mean, not to make this gross, but I guess we're already here. Okay. Caillou does kind of look penis-like.
He does have penis-like features.
Yeah, rounded off.
Right.
That yeah, I don't know. Like this picture I'm looking at.
He does have a, it's like a bald, almost like penis tip head. Dome-like
thing going on.
Sorry if anyone is Canadian and grew up with this character.
So,
so
it's like playing Baby Shark after you're done fucking.
Right. I could see it being funny one time.
Yeah, I don't even know about one time. I don't.
Says the guy who farted with legs behind his head. Okay.
Come to my show in April.
That was funny.
I know funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like if someone played like, I do understand there's this thing where people are too reactive to like a non-sexual thing being brought up after a sexual occurrence.
Okay.
Like the idea that like.
Better after than before.
Yeah.
Like if this was his sex playlist, that would be. Pretty
like,
bad.
My girlfriend and I will be, you know, she'll be trying to get hot over text. And then I'll be like, oh, my mom just called. She'll be like, come on. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. I can figure that, you know, it wasn't.
You can compartmentalize.
A little bit. That is a bizarre song to play. I guess if Baby Shark was played, it would change the nature of it for me.
I think I would find this like kind of amusing one time. But there's an annoying thing about someone who's like, I'm funny and I'm quirky and I'm going to show you that by being like ridiculous at all times. It also would make me think they're trying to make whatever this is like less serious. By being like, I'm kind of a joke. So like this is kind of a joke.
There is a time for shared jokes during sex. Like,
yeah. Well, that's why I don't mind it as much that it's after.
I think when you bring in the technical aspect where it's a big production, that's where it like leaves the stadium of sexual, like us getting to know each other, and it goes towards a performance.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, you fucked, and then did you plan to play on this?
Well, it sounds like she said he does it almost every single time.
Yeah.
That to me is the biggest issue, not that it was like one time he was like, oh, the song's in my head, let me play it. The fact that it's every time is like, oh, like I'm a little bit of a joke.
Yeah, totally.
To me, I'm always wary of those guys, especially like as you get older, because you're like, this person's just trying to make their life into a joke. This isn't going to be a serious thing for them. They're treating this whole thing as a joke.
Yeah. I I'm with you. It would be too much every time.
Right.
What would you call it? Cocky Kalu.
Caillou.
Cocky Caillou.
Cocky Canadians.
Shark fuck.
Postcoital
baby fuck.
Postcoital Caillou.
Postcoital Caillou is good.
He sounds like French.
Yeah,
right.
He's got a little scarf on that makes him look a little Frenchy.
I guess these people are Canadian.
Yeah, it's an awkward thing. I think I agree with you on the. It makes it less serious.
Right. Well, that's kind of mean like when you're talking about, for instance, like I think we talked about this in the last episode with the Bumble conversations. I'm kind of like, at a certain point, you do want someone who's taking, or at least appearing to take this seriously.
Sure. It's like, when does reality hit? Like, it's the idea of, like, if you have an inside joke with someone, like, when does the joke end and the date begin?
Right. Like, yeah. I want to be serious. I want someone who's actually serious about going on a date.
Sure. And like, it's like, were you thinking of this song when you were going down on me? Like,
right. Are you... Yeah, do you have any actual real plans to like turn this into something?
Yeah.
Would be my thought, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. Would it be a red flag or deal breaker?
One time red flag.
Okay.
Every time deal breaker.
At what occurrence? The second one? Third one?
I think after the second one, I'd be like, all right, the song's actually kind of annoying.
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be... Yeah,
because more than once it's like I'm this guy. I'm like the guy. I'm the guy who plays the kid's remix song because it's so funny.
I would be annoyed if someone did it without sex.
Right.
Like if we were out for dinner and they just ended dinner with that song every time, I'd be like, "What are we doing?"
And doing anything every time is like,
it's my dad's biggest advice. You can never repeat.
Yes, that's why you don't go on the same vacation.
Don't go on the same vacation. Don't go, you know, you can never repeat.
Never repeat and never give up the first class seat.
Never give up the first class seat. That's right.
Wise words from, what's your dad's first name?
Jerry.
From Jerry?
Yeah.
Are you named after him?
No.
Just similar from name. Jerry Fried.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny. There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist. This scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
I'm ready.
UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. You want to take this one?
Sure. Hey, J&J, getting right to it. I've been seeing this guy for a little over a month, and things seem to be going well. Both showing equal interest, sending texts and snaps, going out on dates, and even bringing me around his friends. I had asked him to a gala, stating that if he didn't want to, I'd just ask a friend. No pressure. Thought it would be a fun date. He never gave me a straightforward answer, but told me not to ask my friend. Long story short, he ended up coming up with an excuse when I asked him 2 days before, but still wanted to meet up at the bar after. My parents were at the bar with some friends, and they briefly said hi, but since it's so new, my parents went off to the dance floor to leave us be. We hung out the next day as usual, but when I went back to work and my week as usual, I had stopped hearing from him as much, and no snaps. So no snaps. Where are my snaps?
I'm waiting.
I haven't even seen your lunch today. So I reached out and got that he was just busy. But after more of this, I finally said, and she shows the text messages. Mm-hmm. So should we read that? And then I'll read her question about it after. So she says, I'll be her, you be him. We've been talking for a while, and it's just odd to me that you suddenly get busy to the point where I don't get a snap from you here and there or a text. I've tried to communicate with you about it to see what's going on, but it doesn't seem you're interested, so I'm going to take this as my cue.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've been busy, but you said you were all about honesty, and so am I. Truthfully, I think you're a super nice girl, and I enjoy spending time with you, but I'm not ready for anything more at this moment. I have so many things going on. And if you want a relationship, I don't want you to be misled, because that's not fair to you. You deserve better.
Thanks for your honesty. Take care.
I don't think she meant that, take care.
So that was Friday, whatever day that was. And then she follows up with another text. Mm-hmm. I've given it a lot of thought, and I don't want it to end like this. I like spending time with you and want to get to know you more. I'm willing to go at your pace and be supportive. I don't know if the sudden change in communication was that I freaked you out. I'm sorry if it came off like I was trying to rush things. That's not what I want. I just enjoy spending time with you.
Okay. So then he wrote, in blank for the day. Apparently cricket is not that great up north, LOL. No need to be sorry. I appreciate you saying what you did. I'm not ready for a commitment, but I also enjoy hanging out with you.
Are you still interested in seeing each other?
And he writes, would like to hang out.
So she really, like, she had it. She had the, like, she had the control over her life for like a second.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, fuck it. Let me just ruin that whole thing.
I'll just feel awful half the time to feel good. Right. Kind of good for half the time.
She goes, did I push too much and scare him off? I thought things were going well and I'm considering hanging out to see if we can get back to it. Just curious as to what your perspectives will be.
So, This is a tough one
because it's literally the worst thing that you can do.
I know.
Because it's like you got the answer and now you're saying like, okay, I got the no deal answer.
Yes.
Right? But
it's time to move
on.
So
now I'm going
to
settle for a half deal.
Yeah. You this is only going to drive her crazy.
Right. At this point, it's kind of her fault.
It's kind of her fault. Well, let's go back a step. You didn't scare him off, okay?
No, yeah. You didn't scare him off.
Stop with that bullshit, okay? You asked for your standard to be met, and it didn't, and he said, no, thank you. The one thing I've learned from being in the relationship I am in now, okay?
Okay.
Is that relationships are a constant negotiation.
Right.
Everything's it's a contract.
Yes.
And being in a relationship means two people that are willing to negotiate. You need two parties to sit at the table. This guy, I am always willing to sit at the table with my girlfriend to discuss what we should do next. I'm not leaving the table. I'm not saying, no deal. Goodbye.
Right. That's a breakup.
That's a break. This guy, and it's more clear when you're not labeled, you're not agreeing to the relationship. It's less clear when you're in this dating zone that she's in, because
you're saying it's more clear when you have the label.
Like, I'm with my girlfriend, right. Boyfriend, girlfriend. She brings a thing to the table. I say, I don't want to do that, but I'll do this. And then we go back and forth. We have an argument maybe, but it's discussed.
Right.
When you're in this thing that she's in, which everyone's been in, where you're hooking up, there's no real responsibility for one another. And then you say, hey, I got this gala coming up. Come. He looked at the gala and he went back to his side and thought out whether he would come back to you with a differing offer or not.
Right.
The differing offer was, I'm out on gala.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the bait on being responsible for you and the event that's important to you.
Yeah. And then he meets her parents.
The parents, but that doesn't even matter.
I think it's kind of like he's getting the sense that like the time for defining things and owing her things as we do in a relationship
totally.
And having to sit down at the table is coming nearer.
Exactly.
Right.
He sees the sign for Welcome to Relationshipville off in the distance.
Right.
And he's like, stop the bus.
I'm getting off.
I'm off. And he got off the bus and then forced you to text him like, hey, are you getting off of this bus? And then he was like, yeah, about that bus to Relationshipville, you're free to go. I don't want to stop you from going to Relationshipville with someone else. They could have my seat, but I'm going to pull off. And then you said to the bus driver, turn around. I'm okay with it. We'll go back. And that's not going to make you feel good. You're going to be in constant, right? Like,
you're giving up potentially something real to get something that's like, okay. And the person is really, I mean, the reason I say it's your fault, I don't mean like to put in that in a like blamey way, but I'm pretty sure it's like you did the right, I think she did the right thing.
Absolutely.
When she called, she gave you, as you say before, like she gave the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're busy a lot. I'm not getting these snaps from you. Things are different. I can tell what's up.
That's the perfect text.
That was great. But then you get the answer that you didn't want, which is probably your biggest fear in sending that text. Your biggest fear came true in sending that text, which is that his response was honest, and it was pretty clear in that he is not looking to be in a relationship. He said that in a slightly vague, but really pretty clear, I think.
As clear as it gets.
As these texts go, I think it was pretty clear. Without him saying specific things that are unnecessary. And then you kind of, you did a really good job, and then you retracted all that. And I think that happens sometimes where you got a little lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, hey, maybe I could deal with this. Maybe I could change him. Maybe he'll come around. Maybe this I don't want a relationship thing is like an immediate thing. And then the more I get to know him, he'll be like, oh, I can't live without her. I'm going to, you know.
It's not going
to
go that way.
I need to be with her. And I think it very rarely, if ever, happens. It maybe happens less than 1% of the time, if I had to guess.
Totally. And you're not going to change someone while being with them for the change.
Right.
You need to go away. You need to stick to your standard, because what you're saying is, no shirt, no shoes, no business. And then he comes to your door and you go, let him in without the shoes. Now you have no rules. Now you've given way. Now your whole store is different. And it's what you don't want it to be.
Right, because now you've lost all negotiating power in the contract. If relationships are all about contracts, you've now basically laid all of your cards on the table. The person has said, I'm not going to sign. And then you said, okay, what do you want your terms to be? Sure. I'll put your terms in, and then we'll both sign.
Yeah, and I mean, think of this another way. It's funny that you're like, he gave as honest an answer as he could give. But sometimes people lean on that kind of dishonest answer. Like, oh, well, he said, like,
right,
I
don't want
you.
A relationship. Or they pick the parts that they want. He said, I enjoyed hanging out with you.
Yeah.
He said, you deserve better.
Yeah.
So he cares about me.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not ready for anything more at the moment.
No.
I'm saying, like, he's not saying, I am never going to commit to you in a serious relationship, but I'm down to hook up. That would be the most honest answer that no guy will say.
Of course. Yeah. I am down to hook up with you on my own schedule.
Right. No one's going to say that. But that's what he means.
That's what he means. That's what he means.
And all this other
stuff. I like you enough to hook up. I don't like you enough to make you the responsibility in my life.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think the way that he's saying this is, although it's not saying exactly what he thinks, which, as we said before, is I'm not going to ever date you ever.
Yeah.
This is as close to it as he's really going to get.
Sure. And you're coming back for, I don't think she would come back if he said, listen, if he wrote back, I'm sorry, I've been busy, but you said you're all about honesty and so am I. Truthfully, I like having sex with you and never having to answer for you and not having to go to the gala. Without having to go to the gala.
Right.
Like, I don't think she'd go, you're right, I like our time together, I want to have sex with you too without going to the gala too. Like, right. I think she's
retracted in a moment of weakness. And I think that it's actually very, very bad, because I think it also, not only is she not getting what she wants, but I think that in this guy's eyes now, he's probably lost an element of respect for her because she doesn't really respect herself.
Totally. And it's also, she's going to end up resenting the guy. It's inevitable. You're going to come back and you're going to always wonder, well, why can't I be that more thing? It gets personal.
Yeah.
His answer, as sad as it is impersonal. It's, hey, here's where I am in my life. I'm not going to really give any more. I can tell that if we keep going, we both have to give more.
Right.
I'm obviously not ready.
Yeah, and by you saying, like, I'm okay with, what did she say? I'm
okay with just hanging out. Like,
yeah.
She wouldn't say that in any other terms, though. I've given a lot of thought and don't want it to end like this. Well, how do you want it to end? With you hating him? So you don't hate him enough to have it end? Like, this
That's kind of what she, right.
That's kind of what she means. I like spending time with you and want to get to know you more. He's already said no to getting to know you more.
Right.
He wants to get to know you this much, enough to be able to have sex and not be responsible.
Yeah, I think like she's hanging on to that at the moment thing, but that's not even what he just threw that in there, not even thinking about that line.
Yeah, and he also, she wrote something very specific.
Yeah, I think the
I'm
only...
I'm willing to go at your pace. And then he writes, would like to hang out. He had never... Your pace, his pace has stopped. There's no pace.
Right. He's not even really addressing, like, the things that you're... that she's saying.
Yeah, this is,
he's not even addressing those. He's not even saying, like...
Totally. If we go back to the contract negotiation example, the metaphor, he's at the table going, here's my offer. There's no change in my offer. That's right. All it is. And you're going, well, what if we do this? And he goes, no, this is the offer.
Right. And I think, I mean, not to make this, I think you take away like a little bit of the humanism out of it, but think about like if you were trying to buy a house, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, hey, like I discovered that there's actually like termites and there's a leak in the house. Mm-hmm. And I really need you to fix these things before I can buy the house. And the person was like, yeah, I'm not going to fix any of that. You can have the house as is, or you could just walk away.
Yeah.
And then you were like, okay, whatever, I'll sign it. I'm fine. I'll take it. The person would be like, what kind of, like, I'm trying to think, like, what the...
No, they'd be like, I win.
Right, they'd be like, I don't respect this person. No, this person's willing to take whatever house I'm giving them.
It's a little different in that situation just because that person would just... I think this person's
desperate for a place to live is what they would think.
The parallel is that I know I don't have to budge.
I know I don't have to budge, and this person is desperate for a place to live. Sure. They will take anything.
I wouldn't have a lack of respect for someone who took my deal. I would go, good, get fucked. You know, like if I sold my apartment and they bought way above what, like, and I was like, yeah, you can. I would know that they were between a rock and a hard place. Like, I was their only option.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're desperate.
Yeah, so I don't have to budge. So it's like, if you came back to me in a year and you were like, hey, I want that house. Did you fix the termites? And I went, no. I'd be like, yeah, you're still coming back. There's nowhere else for you to live. That would be the similar thing. It's like, you're coming back to me.
Right. The only way that she could really win out in this scenario, if she was like, I'm not signing the deal.
Yeah.
And then the other person was like, they couldn't find another buyer, maybe. Yeah. And they were like, you know what? Oh, fine. I'll fix the shit here. Exactly. Just please buy it.
Like, hey, I've thought a lot about it, and there's no one as good as you. Will you go out on a date with me this Thursday?
Right.
That's a different thing than, all right, whatever you say.
Yeah, exactly. The analogy got a little warped, but I think the general sense
the
is
sense
like
is there.
You
yeah.
have to. I think to be respected as like a person that would viably date. They want to. No one wants to feel like they could walk all over you, which is sort of what you're giving them the permission to do.
Absolutely.
You're saying I will take whatever you want to give me.
Yeah, and that means that they're going to give you whatever is within their time and at their convenience. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to do another email. I wanted to bring in Alicia for this. She works for Betches.
Love it.
She's the director of account managing. She does a great job. And she's also, if you guys remember, back in January, I shared a story about a guy that I was hooking up with on and off for years and years. And I couldn't figure out how to get out of that situation. So Alicia messaged me after she heard that. And she was like, I have another story like that. It was even longer than that. It was like 10 years. So I'm going to bring her on and we're going to talk about how she got out of that situation.
It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks, though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
So guys, we are back with Alicia Angelis. She is the account director at Betches. She does an amazing job. We love
her.
Hey guys. And we brought her on to talk about how to get out of one of those toxic hookup thingies that you guys heard me speak about back in January. I think a lot of people related to that story, and I think it's good to get another sense of someone else who's been through that and how they managed to get out of it.
Well, to rehash your story that touched millions of listeners, millions. I get people that approach me all the time.
Really?
They're like, oh my God, Jordana's story about dealing with a guy that was in and out of her life over the course of how long was it?
It was like 7 or 8 years.
Seven or eight years. I related so much to that. That like people come up to me, they're like, that was the episode I knew.
Damn.
Yeah. Wow. They're into it. So you heard that episode?
Yes. So I heard that episode and I immediately slacked Jordana and was like, oh my God. Like I literally have this guy.
Yeah.
And I was on and off with a guy from the ripe age of 14.
Okay.
Wow.
Up until I was about 26.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like half your life, essentially, at that point.
Yeah, it was a really long part of my life.
It kind of makes sense to me. Like, at 14, right, you're at this, like, age where you're trying to figure everything right out, but also you hold on. Like, the things you have in common with people from your home, is a hometown person.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Like, just knowing the streets, it's so easy to get back into it with those people.
It's comfortable.
People. It's comfortable.
Oh, right.
The streets, the high school, the teachers, the people that you went to school with, you can always interact on that level that makes it feel like home.
And there's always a path back there to like totally seeing them again or speaking to them or something. It's funny because that you said that because the guy that I was talking about, we met in college. So it's sort of like a similar thing. It's also, I think, a state where you kind of are figuring out. But there's often, I feel like these things start when you say you're figuring out who you are. You're mm-hmm. figuring out like relationships
and you don't know anything else at that time.
Exactly. So you're kind of like, this could be normal, I don't really know.
And also you have each other's numbers, you're tethered to them a little bit.
Right.
I have the same cell phone number I got when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So it's almost this one little rope. It doesn't matter how big or thick the rope is, it's always attached to that person where you can always find them. Like, I don't think any other generation really dealt with it in this way. Right. Like,
because they didn't have your, if you, right.
My dad before left high school, goodbye.
Yeah, you had to like wait until 30 years later when they got Facebook to send them a weird psycho message.
You have to like look them up in the yellow pages and be like, well, remember me? Like, there was no reason.
Right, you can't slide into someone's DMs.
No, yeah, or like, hey, I just watched this TV show that we used to watch. Like, just having the number makes it more personable and easier. So what's your story?
Yeah, what happened here? Oh, give us like the the condensed yet informative version of what happened, and then also how you got out of it. Because I think that's really the important piece that people really want to know.
The getting out of it part was the biggest piece, I think. But this guy went to my high school. I met him my freshman year. He was my first kiss, evolved into first everything. Mm-hmm. But he never called me his girlfriend, ever.
Okay.
And there was always a reason for this. It was either, like, similar to your thing. It was like, oh, it's summer. Oh, he's going to college. Oh, we're in college.
Right,
like,
you make these excuses.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's like right after college. Oh, he has a girlfriend. Like 10 years of excuses.
Sure.
So what would kind of happen is that we would fall into this weird like hookup thing that would kind of go almost to a relationship, and then something super toxic would like blow it up into flames. Mm-hmm. Then the holiday season would come around and he would come back over the holidays because it was like that, you know, nostalgic right. time at home.
Easy call to make, easy text to write. Yeah.
So yeah. it's that state of like, you know, you get closer, it gets too intimate for the person, and then they just like pull back before yeah. it can get to like that boyfriend, girlfriend labeled situation.
Yeah. Right. And it would go for years and years. Like he, funny story, was like, he was invited to like my quinceañera. This is like going so far now. And he like tried to hook up with like my camp friend mm-hmm. when we were like 15. Like the fights would start when we were so young, and it would just always be like, oh, well, you cheated on me with her, blah, blah, blah. Like, right. It would always get messy.
And what made you keep going
always,
back?
But it's always so much buildup. Like, it's always like you have such a history together right. that it's you so can hot. Always blame it on somebody. Yeah. yeah.
There
yeah.
was always something That's to go back to.
But also, like, if you look back, like, a healthy relationship is eventually, like, a little boring. Like, you're not getting sure. those highs and lows. Mm-hmm. Of like, you know what I mean? It's like a healthy relationship is like eating healthy. Like
yeah.
you feel good most of the, you feel good like all the time. Like you look good, everything's going well, but you're not like having that like intense like high of this like amazing, disgusting food.
Totally. You're
and
not.
And the low of feeling disgusting about mm-hmm. it after.
Also, you're not that interesting.
Right.
Nobody wants to hear the story of the good relationship. Everyone wants mm-hmm. to hear the story of the guy who came back or the girl came yeah. back and
yeah.
how crazy it got and the excuses that he made.
Yeah. Like your
it
own rom-com.
It really was. It would get like super high and then it would get super low. Like I remember we lived two blocks away from each other for a couple years and that got really high at one point and then it got super low because he like came up to me at a bar and like I ended up hitting him. It was like this entire
thing.
Oh my
god.
Oh wow.
And like this is only like that was probably like 5-6 years ago at this point, but it went on and off for such a long time that in the off periods I would get so low but then get addicted to the high periods. So in these low periods, what kept circulating in my brain was like, what did I do wrong? Like, how am I reading this? Like, how is this
right
this
how do I get happening? How do I change myself to get either out of this or to yeah. get him to date me? You're kind of like, and one of these things needs to happen. I remember thinking like, he either needs to be my boyfriend or I need to get out of this because yeah. I just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
And we would tell each other all the time. He would, like, there would be some days where he's like, maybe one day we'll be like 26 and single and we'll finally get married. And then other days I would be like, I will never speak to you again.
Yeah.
But then the ways that we would communicate with each other were so like, high at certain points that I would feel as if like now that the year started racking up that I was inevitably different compared to everyone else.
Right. There so, is that is sure. a side effect of
like,
it.
Like he had nobody else. Like to this day, I know he has nobody else that he's been on and off with for that long. So
no, it's true.
It
I mean
is
like
so funny to like, me that, like the idea that like that's important. Like yeah.
Well,
I
it plays into this like fairy tale rom-com thing that we're fed, that mm-hmm. we're spoon-fed since sure. we're little of like it has to kind of be tough. In these rom-coms, like there's always a block of like a roadblock for the two people being together at the end of the day. You look at like Carrie and Big from Sex and the City.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then but the fact that she's always in his life just means like it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day they wind up together and you're kind of like I've like already hung. You're also like it's almost like that you won't take the loss.
Yeah,
because like, I've already invested all this time and energy yep. and like years of my life that it kind of has to work out. Otherwise, I was just this crazy person who was like hanging on to this guy for so long.
That's so frustrating from like the guy perspective, I have to say. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I hear that, but it's like, it's got to pay off. It's got to be something. It's like, all right, well, just fucking let go of this. You know, like,
yeah, it's
there is
really
a point
hard,
where
yeah.
you go like, you know, it's like, it's an investment. It's, you know, the correlate, you know, like the kind of like the thing that comes out is like an investment. Like there's people that invest in stocks and they go, well, I'll never sell until it's more than what I bought it for.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just lose
you
on the stock.
The loss. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just lose it. Yeah. So I understand well, where it's coming
it's
from.
It's also like in these situations, I feel like it's always it takes two people to have this dysfunctional toxic thing.
Absolutely.
Right? So you have to like admit and own your own part in it. So mm-hmm. it's like as much I remember telling my therapist, like as much as the problem is that this guy would come and then back off and never and not treat me the way I deserve to be treated.
Like big, I said,
the,
yes,
right.
Yeah.
The other really important factor in this is it couldn't have gone on that long if you had just the first time he did that just been like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's like, he or she is like the band-aid to your problem mm-hmm. that you keep coming back to right. cover
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And whenever I was single, I like dated this other guy who I still like genuinely think really high of. But like whenever I was single during other years of my life, I would be like, oh, well, there's this like other guy who like I'll always like go back to. Like right. I always had him as kind of a hunch, as a crutch, I think. And he had the same thing for me. And I feel as if I never knew that I had to get out of it up until I started being more conscious of like what normal actually was and growing to realize that like what was happening between him and I was not normal and was not okay. But mm-hmm. he
right.
never realized that what he was doing to me was not okay. And it yeah. just kept going for years and years yeah. and years. And then it kind of just hit me one day. I can go into the actual like day that all of it happened, but I had this moment of clarity where I was like,
was it one
what
moment?
Am I doing?
Was it a moment where you were like, had a 180, or was it kind of a gradual thing?
So it was around the holiday season. It was a few months before I met my boyfriend.
Okay.
And I had been like super single at the time. He was actually finally single at the time. We had never really had a time where both of us were like fully single, doing our own thing in the city, living close to each other.
Mm.
So I was dating a lot. He was kind of dating a lot, but then the holidays came around. I saw him on Thanksgiving Eve. It like reignited the
Thanksgiving
spark.
Eve. We talk about that. Right.
It's a big day.
And then we like, I think we went on like a couple dates or something, and we went out to dinner. I remember it vividly. It was like January 5th. I swear to God.
We're very sentimental.
Always the 5th.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we go, he used to always like, the way he would call back would be like, there was something nostalgic about like, oh, it's been so long, like blah, 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 that I would always somehow believe.
Sure.
And it was all fake. But he would be like, let's go to a nice dinner. Let's go on a trip. Like he would give me these super like enticing things.
Yeah.
That I would be like, oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So
these are things to not like.
To keep you hanging.
To not, yes. Yeah. But also to not be embarrassed about. Like, yeah. I understand, yeah. like, going back to someone. Like, none of this, all of this makes sense. Like, yeah. I understand, like, there's people, like, that are in this right now.
Yeah.
You're out of it. You're out mm-hmm. of it. Yeah. Both of you guys are out of your situation. But, like, it is normal for this guy, both sides, for this guy to go, yeah. I'm lonely. Here's someone that said yes before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normal mm-hmm. for you to go, I'm lonely. Here's someone that knows all these things about me and has said yes to me before.
Oh, yeah.
Why would I not go back to the yes?
But not just who has said yes, someone who has also dangled this thing that I really want mm-hmm. with them in front
I'm
of me. That's
so
the
close.
Difference.
I'm close right. to the
yeah.
cheese.
Kind of like
yeah.
it feels like it's so close. It feels like I almost have it. And like life could just be like perfect mm. if they could just like.
They could just see what I see.
If they could just go all in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hardest part is feeling like you're so close all these times
yeah. Yeah.
so that you're like, this is the time, maybe it'll work, which is a crazy thing. It really like, I've never like been to a meeting like that or something like that, but I've like watched movies or there's this movie. I think we were talking about it.
No Strings Attached.
No, it's like sleeping with other people.
Yes.
Where she's like actually in a sex and love addicts like meeting. And it does feel like an addiction kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It does feel like you're like overpowered by this feeling of maybe this time will be different, which I imagine addicts
and you can
go
see
through.
The future with that person.
Yep,
and
right.
you, okay. Yeah. So the 5th.
Yeah. So the 5th. We're at Lorefish Bar. It was amazing. I had
I
like
love
some
that
good
place.
Spot. I love
yeah,
that restaurant.
Spot, yeah.
Not sponsored.
Plug City for Lorefish Bar. Yeah.
Sorry. We're having like all these drinks and he's like giving me these like horrible lines. Like I've known this kid for 11 years at that point mm-hmm. and I'm like having a kettle martini and he's like, oh, kettle's my favorite vodka. Like giving me like stupid one-liners that I just kept kind of rolling my eyes about. And eventually like we get back to my apartment, things start happening and he just keeps going with these lines that are like, oh, when's the last time we did this, babe? Like acting as if nothing has happened.
Not addressing like the elephant in the room,
yes.
which is that you've had this like toxic dysfunctional thing going on again.
Yes.
Okay.
And he never thought of it as toxic. Like he always was like,
it's not toxic for him.
Yeah.
Like he's right. fine.
Well, that's yeah. another part of it that you, I think when I was showing you those text messages in the airport,
yeah,
you were like, for him, this isn't like this crazy
no,
talk.
This
like it's only that it's like only you're the one that's really suffering.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely like I, you know, and I know it because I've been that guy. Like I've been in that, you know, on the other side of it where you're like, and you don't realize it until like, again, what you said before with like the amount of time. like, to him, there's no, like, 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 11 years to him. And I know that's crazy to hear, mm-hmm. but, like, it's just not how he relates to you guys.
Yeah.
I know that's...
Right, well, that's almost the saddest part to me.
Kind of.
The saddest yeah. part is that it doesn't mean the same thing to you as it does to them.
Yeah, and, like, he would oftentimes make me feel as if we were on the same page about things and how, like, sure, like, we're not dating, but, like, that's okay. Like, we're living our lives in our 20s in the city, and, like, I kind of had this moment of clarity, like, in my apartment that night, like, after we were, like, hanging out for a bit, and I was just like, what the fuck, like, are we doing here, doing this again after so many years? Because it would happen that something would happen, and then 3 years later, it would happen again. Maybe it happened a few times that year, three more later.
And he would never address the fact that, like, that this was going on for so long, or that you almost tried to make it serious, or any of those things.
No, like, he would just, like, we would never really talk about the status. It would just be, like, this never-ending toxic relationship that like would sneak back into my text DMs. At one point it was AIM, like, it was something crazy. And I kind of just sat there and looked at him and was like, are you really, like, gonna sleep here? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, I just think you have to leave. Like, I really feel like I just need to actually end this. And he was just like, oh, you say that all the time. And I'm just like, no, look, I really think I'm doing it.
Okay.
So he left that night, and we basically never really talked again. Like, he...
And that was it. No talk, no nothing.
Like, I'm sure he probably sent me, like, happy birthdays, Merry Christmas, whatever.
Did you answer those?
But I remember answering something, like, a few months later, but we never rehashed anything. He never was like, did you really mean what you said? He never really, like, came back to talk about it ever. Right. And then I met my boyfriend, like, 3 months later. So it was this weird fucked up thing where, like, after all of this time, thank God I had that moment and thank God I got out of it, because it's clear that he obviously never thought anything of this.
Yeah. Well, not to say he didn't think anything, but, like, I think also a lot of guys, like, love a vague label, like, love a vagueness. Like, this is kind of like, this is an example that, like, goes to prove that.
Yeah.
Well, that's also why I say, like, I don't think that girls can sleep with someone casually over the course of 10 years and not want to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think guys can, I think that's almost like a uniquely male thing.
Sure.
That I've never known any woman in my entire life who's been like, yeah, we sleep together all the time over the course of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. And, like, he never acknowledged that anything that happened was fucked up. Like, all the times he would fuck up, he would just be like, sorry, and then glaze over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was most powerful to me was that I was able to not only get out of it, but realize that, like, shit is not supposed to be that way. And I was, like, jaded for so long, because I was just like, oh, like, this is what love is like. Like, it's real, right. Obviously not.
Like, and then when you're in a healthy, stable, like, thing, you're like, oh, it doesn't have to, I don't have to feel, like, terrible, like, a third of the time.
Uh-huh. Like, I could actually feel great, like, 95% of the time.
Right. Yeah, but it's also so interesting. Like, going back, we just did an email where we read text messages where the girl in the conversation, she was like, is something off? And he said, I don't want to be in a relationship. And then she wrote, thank you for being honest. And then the next text is her going, I don't like how this is ending. I'd rather get to know you still.
Right.
And it's like, That's how this whole thing rolls forward. That's how the snowball builds. Because then he goes, she's here doing what she agreed to my version of casual.
And he's not counting the time.
No.
Yeah. She's counting the time.
He's going, well, we just restarted. You know, like, I could
under
see
better
how,
terms.
On my terms. Yeah. Like, I just think this also, like, leads to a conversation of, like, when you say you want to be casual with someone, that means two people have different definitions for casual.
Right. Like, for men, it means I will never be with you.
Well,
for women, it means I will be with you slower.
Weekly instead of daily.
Exactly. Like, well, also it could be not, it doesn't even have to be gender specific. It could just be like, hey, I thought us being casual meant that you answer my texts all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Or I thought us being casual was, you know, when that we like I thought I was being casual means I don't have to answer your text ever. Like,
right.
There's a big sliding scale. That's why I maybe I'm not saying he's right, the guy you're dealing with. I'm saying that he's rationalized it in a way that you're not even seeing. Like all of us aren't seeing, you know? So it's very interesting. And it's interesting to hear that the way out was to go, it's like ignoring a crying baby. They'll cry themselves out.
Right. Because the person's never going to end it for you. They're never going to be like, this person's suffering. I need to stop contacting them.
Yeah.
You have to do it.
Drug dealer doesn't stop selling.
Right. You have to decide that you don't want to buy it anymore.
Yeah. And I remember like the first few months like that I started dating my boyfriend, he would like creep into my text every now and then, but just something random.
Yeah.
And I had to make the conscious decision to be like, you know what? Like, I'm starting to date someone who actually is normal.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I can't keep doing this to myself. Like, I feel like a lot of girls let themselves like still respond to the texts.
Sure, they don't want to be the jerk. They don't
I was
be the
girl
bitch.
Responding forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I then mean, same. And it took so much. Like, I remember he texted me something about like my job or something like that.
Right.
And I was just, and I couldn't even get myself to say like thank you or anything, because I was just like, it'll reignite everything.
Yeah. Well, that's it's funny because like the job stuff, like the guy showing up at the.
Yeah, showed up at the.
At the Vancouver show. Yeah. That's a version of it where it's like, I'm going to be nice enough that the doors are always open and you can walk through the doors. I'm not going to push you through.
Right.
They're open.
Yeah. That's what makes it so hard to not walk through. And I think that it does. I mean, I hate to say it. I remember being in my therapist's office and being like, I don't want to have to find a new relationship in order to get over this. Like, why can't I just get over it and be happy and be single? Yeah. I don't understand why I have to like meet someone else in order to get over this. Like, I should be able to, I should be strong enough to be able to do this without that. But I do think it's very helpful when you happen to meet someone who can change the way that you look at a healthy relationship.
And I'm sure not a lot of people are going to meet somebody that will help them get over somebody else. And like, I'm not thinking that that was like the only way out, but just knowing
you taking that power back was probably what put you in the mindset to even be able to get into that.
Exactly.
Also, the biggest thing, like if there's positive to take away from it is from any experience, good can be taken from it.
Yes.
Like, you knew what it felt like, what felt good and bad. I think, like, knowing, we think we come out of the womb knowing how good and bad feels. You don't. You have to learn through experience. And maybe yours takes 11 years. Maybe someone else takes 11 months.
Yeah.
Or someone else's could take 11 minutes. I know that feels good to me. That feels bad to me. I want less of the bad, more of the good. And for your relationship now, how long have you guys been together?
2 years this week.
Okay.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Does it feel like you know good? Like,
it's like night and day.
But you know the standard. Like I'm sure when you have arguments, you go, I've done this before.
Like, right. The craziest part is, I think I used to think that screaming at each other was actually a normal thing in arguments. And
right.
Now I can't name a time that this dude has screamed at me. Like, it's so
that's good
different.
Yeah.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves, and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place: yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. And I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Let's do the email.
Let's do the email. I think that also relates to like how you look at this kind of thing too. Someone writes in, she goes, "Hi J&J, my ex and I broke up over a year ago. He has since moved on to his high school sweetheart. For context, we're both 22, so they didn't date that long ago.
Okay.
From what I can gauge on social media, they're very much in love and the whole nine yards to go the whole nine yards to demonstrate that. Fancy dinners, ski trips, etc. It's safe to say I am not over him, but perhaps more pointedly, I'm not over the dynamic of our relationship. Mm-hmm. He treated me like crap, flirted with other girls relentlessly, and never made me feel secure. In hindsight, I should have told him to go fuck himself, but I ate his crap and never stood up for myself.
Oof, this is good.
How do I get over the anger of being treated poorly in the past? I'm more mad at myself for putting up with his crap, and I feel the need to get justice on him. It's too late, but I still look forward to the day he gets busted by TSA for weed or pulled over for a DUI. LOL, I'm half joking. Not that much of a psycho. Thanks, crazy batch."
Well, it won't be TSA. They don't check for weed.
now you're on the list.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope he's a safe drunk driver and doesn't get anyone killed. But yeah. What do you think, guys?
It's funny because like I remember in that state of like the down state, I was like, I don't want him to die, but I kind of want him to be like totally unmarketable. Mm-hmm. Like I'm okay if he loses a limb. You know what I mean? So I think it makes sense. I mean, that obviously she says I'm not over him, so that's really where the anger comes from. I think especially when that person has moved on, is this guy does he have a girlfriend?
Oh yeah. I don't know if he has a girlfriend right now. But there were several times where like he would start dating someone and I would sit there and be like, how the fuck does he not dating me when he's dating this girl who he met, I don't know, out of the blue. And I think it's really easy to get down on yourself and be like, I'm sure their dynamic is nothing like what we have. And like, think about
or
those things.
Think like, they look so happy. Like, I don't understand why he couldn't be that happy with me.
Like, clearly he was ready for a girlfriend.
Right, yeah. That too.
It's also like she's mentioned some of the things specifically.
Yeah.
The dinners, the ski trips. She's thinking, well, why wasn't I good enough for those things? And I have to tell her, like, I hate to say it, it's not that personal. Like,
it feels entirely personal.
Yeah. But like, this obviously wasn't for him what it was for you. Again, like she says, how do I get over the anger of being treated poorly in the past? I know she says I'm mad at myself for putting up with this crap. I think like, you were learning what you were into. I think, you know, like this was like, look, I know this is harder to do than it is to say, but look at the positive in this relationship.
Yeah.
Like you sat there in a relationship and listen, we can't fix him.
Mm-hmm.
We can look in the mirror and try and, you know, figure out for the next time you let your standards go unfulfilled.
Yeah, and that's why she's angry.
And that's why she's angry.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. But you let the standards go unfulfilled, and now you're looking back, and he kept getting away with it. And it's like, it's gonna happen that way. Like, and I'm not saying that, I think if she had been like, I don't want to be treated like this, I'll break up with you. I don't think he would have came back and been a better boyfriend to you.
No.
Right.
He would have left you and it would have been over and you wouldn't have kept going through the Groundhog's Day.
I think what I would say to her too is similar in that vein where I would be like, you have to look at this past thing as just a learning experience. Like there is so much that you can try to say or try to like think back and like re-rehearse in your head and be like, did I do that right? Or like, is this why he like ended up with her? Or like, is this why I actually accepted all of that because I have this like childhood issue or whatever?
Right.
Sure.
But I think if you kind of just reposition it and think of it as, hey, you know, I'm young. I didn't know right from wrong at the time.
You're 22. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, you're honestly, if you learn that by 22, you're consider yourself lucky.
Totally.
Yeah. Right. Like and it takes. I learned it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It took me. I was like 26, 27. Yeah.
I've also never looked at my current girlfriend and thought, thank God I'm not with that other bitch. Like I've never.
That's good.
I've never had that thought. I don't think anyone does. I don't think you've had that. Like, I mean, as much as this played into like your dating persona and your profile as a dater, I don't think you've ever looked at your boyfriend and been like, oh, can you imagine dinner with that other piece of shit? Like, it's not like that.
It's more so like, thank God I got out of it and realized like who I am and what I am capable of and what I deserve.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when you do meet that person who treats you that way, I think you appreciate it that much more than if things had always just been that way. You might not get it. I mean, I remember I was dating someone right before him in college that was like really sweet, really nice, really good person. And at 21, I like was not ready for that. I was like almost like turned off by that. And I remember we were dating and then we were going to graduate and he was like, and I was like, oh, I'm moving to New York and I'm going to be 22. Like
no time for you.
Right. Like I'm
it
not
goes both ways.
Right. I'm not like, why would I stay with this guy? I'm about to be like the freshman of like the real world.
Yeah.
And then I was single for 6 years, but I'm saying, and then I met someone again, like eventually who was like that. And after going through this other thing, it really made me appreciate what a healthy relationship was and what to look for. And if you know that, like she's 22. So like, if you have that information at that age, you're doing well.
Yeah. I just don't think she would have been on the ski trips. I don't think it was a her or the other girl scenario. It just, I think you can only work on you, figure your shit out, what you like, what you don't like, and be better the next time.
I agree. I think it's also okay to let yourself be a little angry sometimes if that's how you're feeling. Like, I still randomly have, like, little bouts of, like, fuck that guy. Oh, do you know what I mean? Like,
I had one last night when I realized I was coming on this podcast.
Right, where you think about it.
I was like, should I send this to him?
Yeah. And you're like, fuck that guy. But then you're kind of like, oh, I remember that it's not about that. Everything's cool.
And it's also, like, there's nothing worse than having an internal argument with someone that doesn't really even think that there's an argument to have.
Right.
Like, like if you send it to him, you wouldn't get the, she's like, I want to get justice on him. Like, I don't think it's going to, I don't think you're going to get the fulfillment out of that you think you'll get.
Yeah. Right. If you send him this episode in your head, you're like, maybe he'll just sit there crying. And like,
that'd be nice.
So just like ruining the day that he let me go. And like, but the reality is, he'll be like, oh, she's still thinking about me.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like, oh, she's still bad shit. Good.
Shit. Oh my God. She really dug into that one.
Yeah. All right, let's play some games.
Let's do it. Red flag deal breaker. I love this one.
Yes.
This is very much in the wheelhouse of this podcast.
Ooh.
The guy you're hooking up with, guy or girl you're hooking up with, is not big into social media. Not a ton of followers or following a lot of people. So not a big social media person. Declines your Instagram follower request and then texts you saying they want to see you and hang out.
Whoa. This would be very suspicious to me.
Yeah. Mysterious.
Sorry.
Right?
I would be like baffled by like why that would be. Yeah. But I guess it would be a red flag, not a deal breaker, because I'd be like, okay, he's doing the important thing. He's actually trying to facilitate the meetup.
Sure. Yeah.
I can ask him on this date why he won't accept my Instagram request.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a red flag, not a deal breaker. I could see for some girls, if they're super, super into social media, why it could be a deal breaker for them. But I think maybe it's because I work at Betches, but like I find it really interesting when people don't use Instagram.
Right. You're like, oh, wow, what do you mean? So nice. Yeah.
I don't know. This would be weird to me. To decline the request because it's almost like I'm not ready to show you this part of my life, which I appreciate that you're like being thoughtful with what you let people in on. I think it also means that they're hiding other things.
Right.
Bigger things that they need to explain before you get into their world. Right.
I would think maybe they're hiding like an ex that's still up there or something.
To me, you're the TSA agent at that point. Right. You're at the borderline and you're going, hey, before you come into this country, before you get, there's some things you got to know.
Right.
Like there's a girlfriend, there's a boy, you know, like what I mean? Like there's recent things that are going on, but it wouldn't be the deal breaker, but I would be like, this person might not
Would you ask them about it?
Absolutely.
I think to not ask them would be weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the fuck?
I would be like, so what kind of pictures do you have on there?
And then you'd be giving them the opening to tell you whatever thing they might be able to explain better in person than if you were to just see it on your own.
You're going to find something out.
But I think it's a good sign whenever someone tries to hang out with you that you're into. Mm-hmm. So like,
they didn't decline the Instagram because they don't think you're worthy of their Instagram.
No.
They declined you because they think, I guess because they think enough
of your opinion.
Of your opinion to have to explain something to you. Or they're dating someone else. Like, or they have another family. Like, it's like one or the other.
Yes, or they got two kids and a golden retriever.
Yeah, as horrifying as that is to hear, that's the reality.
Yeah, they could be dating someone. Who knows? Okay, so red flag or deal-breaker, they're always naked when they're at home.
I think it's just a red flag.
Red flag? What do you think?
It's like that
they open the door.
Hello, welcome.
Right.
It's like that Seinfeld episode of like good naked versus bad naked.
Right.
I'm always in shorts with no shirt on.
Exactly.
So like I have like an at-home look.
That, I have to say, is different than being
totally
fully naked.
I completely
in
agree.
Your home. Like I'm picturing like you like you're coming over for like 6 to 8. He answers the door.
He's naked.
Penis is out. Right. Flaccid penis is out. Oh, hey.
Yeah, male nakedness, not strong look. Not a good look. Yeah, I for a woman, I'd be like, this is what she does. Yeah. Good for us.
You're okay with it?
It's.
You'd rather it not, though.
I'd rather it not.
Right. I think it's one of those things where it's like, guys would love that, but actually.
No, I want it
not.
To be a little special. You know.
Right. Like, you don't want to see her.
Yeah. Like, I would also assume, like, I guess, like, are we going to be a naked family?
Yeah.
Like, is this going to be
a nudist colony?
When does this end?
I always wonder that when I see the women who are just, like, literally walking around, like, butt naked in the locker rooms. So mm-hmm. I'm like, part of me is, like, good for you. And part of me is, like, I cannot imagine growing up in a home where everyone's just walking around, like.
Yeah. And I think some people do grow up where, like, their parents are naked and stuff like that. I did not grow up that way.
I didn't grow up that way,
though.
I did.
Yeah.
I got a naked parent of my own.
Are you naked in the locker room?
Yes.
Oh, see?
Like you're just
naked in the locker room.
Are
naked
most men?
In
it's like 50-50.
I think people wear a towel, but I'm pretty free and open. I'm towel over the shoulder guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's bold. Really.
You're in a locker room.
Nice.
I'm walking to and fro. It's not like I'm hanging
about
out.
Your confidence in your penis.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I'm okay with what I got. Okay. Like, I'm not like, you know, I'm not bragging, but I'm not also like, you know, things are okay, you know.
Right. I feel like what percent
never had to worry about money. It's like that type of penis. We never had.
It's a penis with no student loans.
Yeah. Okay. A debtless penis. Yes. Yeah, a debt-free penis.
Okay, yeah. For me, I think if they're naked, they're butt naked all the time at home, and I learned that pretty early on, it might be something I had to think about.
It's a weird way to hang out with someone.
Yeah, very
boxers
weird.
Is fine.
Yeah.
Or even like a little robe situation.
Yeah.
Maybe get them a robe for their next.
Yeah, you get them.
I
that's
a
good.
A robe.
That's a great.
I'm
hit.
More against robe than I am naked.
Oh, I really like robes lately.
You like them, but it doesn't cut me well. I look too much like a Buddha.
Ah,
okay.
It doesn't really cut my body shape.
Buddha,
well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. They wear a hoodie and slippers to your family's Christmas Eve, Passover, or any kind of holiday dinner.
That's a red flag. I think.
Red
I mean.
Flag.
You're like, you invite them over to the first Christmas Eve dinner.
Slippers is
like,
the problem.
You're
the
like, slippers. I'll pick you up from the train or whatever.
Yeah.
They get in the car, they're wearing their like disgusting old pajamas.
It just dresses the dude.
Yeah.
I feel as if you're early in the game, it would be a deal breaker. But let's say it's somebody who you've been dating for like,
they have to earn
six
that, right?
6 months at some point, which I guess would be assumed if you're bringing them to Christmas or something like that. You'd be like, oh, come on, turn around and change.
Yeah.
Right.
So then it wouldn't necessarily be a huge deal.
But what if they wouldn't change?
Then
the slippers is the problem. Hoodie is more realistic because like that's like a look now.
Yes, it is. Good point.
Right.
So like let's just say guy shows up in a hoodie to Christmas dinner, Hanukkah dinner, whatever the holiday.
Mm.
Big holiday event, you're coming over, he's in a hoodie, but it's a fashionable hoodie.
I'm actually okay with that.
Jordana?
I mean, I'm okay with it mostly because I have a very casual family.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too.
Let me change the scenario, okay? Yeah. It's a black tie event, okay?
Black tie.
But he goes in a tux over a hooded sweatshirt. Like, he's like doing the red carpet Grammys thing.
Means he got the hooded sweatshirt over the tux.
No. Whoa. Hooded sweatshirt with a tux jacket over it.
Okay.
It's almost like a look.
That's
like,
apparently a look.
He thinks it's like, yeah, this is his version of like, oh, I do the red carpet my way.
I think it's a little bit of a red flag if the person won't even try to impress the people.
Sure,
that
I think it's a deal. That would be a deal breaker to me.
Yeah, shows up to your
with a hoodie under, like her take on
she
red,
just woke
on
up.
Black tie. Yeah.
Especially like first holiday with the family.
Yeah.
You definitely have to try a little hard.
I think to me it'd be more about like the fact that you don't really care about what people that I care about think about you,
which is a big deal.
Totally. I was at a wedding once and at one point, the guy came out with like a jersey under his tux jacket.
Oh.
And it was the guy getting married. And I was like,
was the guy getting married?
Yeah. It was like a weird point in the, like, he had a costume change. I think any man with a wedding costume change.
Weird.
The marriage won't last.
Why is that?
I think that's a dude who cares too much about the wedding in a way that's unhealthy.
What if it's like a really fly costume change? Like a black tux goes to like an eggplant tux.
But this is my problem. It's like, yeah, like you're
you
like.
You think he cares too much about the wedding?
Yes.
That's a bad thing?
But like, what
it's
if I chose
thing.
That?
What about what?
What if the bride chose for them to both do a costume change?
I think they care more about the show than the actual relationship.
Okay.
That's well, my
hot take,
thought.
Hot take.
What do you think about women who do that? I feel like women mostly care about the show.
Well, they have other women to keep up with.
Okay.
Like, this guy is doing this not because his friend did it.
Right.
You know, like, I understand the human part of, like, I want to have a dress change because I saw it at another wedding and I loved how it looked. And I know my friends are going to come up to me and go, oh, I love the dress change. Like, there's something to be gained from that is not, like, you putting on a show. It's not like a, like, it's not steeped in a certain narcissism.
I get it. Okay.
That's kind of... This is the part of the podcast where I put out my weirder opinions. But
I almost think it's more of a red flag if the husband does not really get dressed for the wedding. Like, I remember I saw on one of our girls' pages recently that the groom walks down the aisle and he's wearing flip-flops, has black sunglasses on that he doesn't take off, has shirt
it's like,
untucked.
Act like you want to be
but
here.
That's a version of like, performative... thing from the guy that I wouldn't trust either. You're right.
Like, that's gross.
That's the same to me.
He's
as
trying
the purple
to show that he doesn't
tux.
Care.
Yeah.
Look how funny I am at my wedding. Like, this is when you chose to be funny.
I agree. Yeah.
Not the time.
All right, guys who are either underdressed or too dressed for your weddings, we're done with you.
Canceled. Alicia, thank you so
thank
much
you
for coming on.
Thank you
so
much.
This is a pleasure.
It was great.
Great to hear your story. Where can people follow you?
I'm private at the moment. Look at that.
Get the fuck out of here. Okay.
Sorry about it.
Jordana, we did it again.
We did it.
We solved dating in 2020.
This was so much fun yet again.
Always a blast. We're here every Wednesday. Keep spreading the word. Keep telling a friend. Keep telling people. Make it your Instagram story. Tweet it out. Let people know about the U Up podcast. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
Bye. U Up is hosted by Jared Fried
and Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPPod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.